You're listening to a message from Canby Foursquare Church in Canby, Oregon. We pray that this message will be an encouragement to you. Visit canbyfoursquare.com to learn more.
It's good to be with you this morning. As Pastor Ron said, I am Pastor Mark, one of the pastors here. If this is your first time, welcome. We're excited to have you. Continue to get to know us. After service, we'll have a breakfast out back in the patio. Come mingle with our church. If you're new here, I do see some new faces, and we are excited to have you here. And we're a lovely bunch of people, and we would like to hang out with you. So join us just behind this sanctuary in the patio after church. It's a joy to be preaching and to be back in the book of 1 John and continue to be in it. Man, it looks like I haven't seen you guys since last year. Dad humor. We are going to continue in 1 John, and Ron will be preaching for next week, and then he'll be wrapping it up in the next couple weeks, and then we are going to jump into a Nehemiah series. I just thank you for trekking along. I thank you for your notes and pulling me aside and telling me what God is doing in your life in the book of 1 John. It really is amazing. I was hanging out with a friend at the beginning of the week, and I like that it's becoming a rhythm in our church that you just ask me. My friend saw me on Monday or Tuesday, and he said, "Hey, did you get any Monday emails yet?" I said, "No, I enjoy getting those emails and the funny things that people say to Mark." I didn't get any this week, so keep them coming. We are going to look, and we're going to start by looking into the passage on love. What a great topic to start the new year on. Now, if you remember last week, I assured you that I would not be giving a 10-point sermon on how to change your life and to start new habits and start a new diet. That will not be this week either. However, as it happens, looking at this text and studying through love and seeing what love is and that God is love and that He's the source of love, I started thinking about, at the beginning of the year, what are some of our goals? Like, we set goals because we have personal needs. What are some of your goals, or what is it that you need out of this year? Some of us, you know, maybe we're going to lose 10 pounds. We're going to lose 15, 20 pounds. That's what we feel like our biggest need. Maybe some of us, you know, we stayed at home and watched Game Changer, and we're going to become vegans or vegetarians this year, and we're going to do that for the month of January. I don't know what your greatest needs are, but we all have them. We all have things that we desire. Maybe it's to read more. That seems like a lofty goal. That's a goal that I think a lot of people have. A pastor friend of mine, he's the lead pastor that this church helped plant in West Salem, at West Salem Foursquare, and he does this goal, and he does it year after year, and I follow him on Instagram, and I watch him, and I talk to him about different books, and he reads a book a week, and he does this regularly. He just adds a book a week, and it's a very lofty goal that I think about doing and have not done. We all have needs, but I want you to think about how much do we think in our lives about how much we need the Lord? Really think about that. What do we desperately want to be with the Lord? Do we set goals? God, I'm gonna draw close to you this year. God, I'm gonna be a giver like you, somebody that gives above and beyond. God, I'm gonna be kind. I'm gonna go out of my way. I'm setting goals to be intentionally kind. It's easy for me to set goals for my own personal gain. I would love to run faster, read more books, and decrease body fat. That would be great. But do I think about goals that would affect other people's lives? I want you to think about that today as we think and look and read and study God's word on love. That God is the source of love. Our study will, as I titled it, God is Love. Pretty clever title. I know that's why you pay me the big bucks. We will break this passage up today in three parts, but first we will read today's scripture, and you'll follow along in 1 John chapter 4, 7 through 12. So if you have your Bible, your non-judgmental device, just follow along, or you can just look up here on the screen, and we will get into the text. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love God does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as our propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If you love one another, God abides in us, and love is perfected. And this is the word of the Lord, church. Today's passage, it will be broken up into three different parts for us. Verses 7 and 8, love originated, or the source of love, or where love comes from. I want you to think about a river. Any river has a source to it, and if the source dries up, the riverbed dries up. So be thinking about it through those lenses. Love manifested. How has love been shown? How did God show us love? And love perfected in verses 11 and 12. Love perfected. How is it reproduced to the world? How does it come from God the source through Jesus and into the believer and out into the world? That's the lens in which I would like us to be thinking today. So we, in our first point, love originated. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. Whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. Love, it's manifest. Like what John is going to do, he's going to say, first of all, beloved. Remember Pastor Ron a couple weeks ago, he talked about beloved. It's this highest level of love. It's agape love, or in this form of it, agapetos. Beloved. It means to literally be loved. One first is to be loved. You can't give something that you don't have. And that's the point that John is making. He says, believers, those who are in the Christian fellowship, come and first be loved. And what he wants us to do is he wants us to see that we must first draw from the source. Notice the order here. Beloved, let us love one another. Love is, this is perhaps maybe the most known portion of 1 John. It's certainly the most recited. It's the one that most of us know, even if we are not familiar with the book of 1 John. This passage right here in our text today, it will repeat the word love 15 times. That's quite a bit of times. And so we should think about this, and what does it mean? In the book of 1 John, depending on your translation, it'll come up about 40 to 45 times the word love appears. It seems important. If somebody repeats something, that would mean it is important. We look at the source, and how do we first give love as Canby Foursquare, as Christians? How do we give something if we don't have it, if we haven't first drawn from it? Think about it like this. A couple weeks ago, all of us were frantically purchasing gifts. We were all running last minute. We were all trying to get last minute gifts. What do you have to do before you get those gifts? You have to first attain those gifts. Sometimes, in some of us, a little bit more aggressive than others, but you have to first get a gift. You have to go to a source where maybe you got some candles or socks or books or whatever kind of gifts you get. You have to first go get them, and you have to have them before you can give them. Maybe you went online and you purchased a gift and you sent it to a friend, or you brought it back to your house and wrapped it up and sent it off, but you had to have the resources, you had to have the money in order to attain that gift. And I know some of you are like, false preacher, I re-gift. I've been giving gifts, the same gifts that people give me for years. You know what I mean. Or we'll say it another way. Think about this. Ron comes to me after church and he says, Mark, I have a new assignment for you. Sure, what is it? I want you to give away $1 million. You want me, Ron, to give away $1 million? I'd be honored to give away $1 million. I'm excited. I love giving. Giving is my love language. Giving gifts and receiving. I know, it's shallow. It's at the top of my list. I'm an only child. But I love to give. That's my jam. There's only one problem. What's the problem? Yeah, well, that's presumptuous of you to say that I don't have it. My lavish lifestyle of pastoral ministry. I think I'm on the right track. Right, you're right. I don't have $1 million. No matter how excited I am to give this money away, I can't give something I don't have. Beloved, the text, it draws us and it says, first, we must be loved before you're expected. Before God commands you to give something, God's not going to first equip you. And it's a drawing. It's saying, come in, come close, like, come to me. I want to love you. I think some of us, we put the cart before the horse, or however that saying goes. We get out ahead of ourselves, and we want to start the new year off, and we're going to love, and we're going to serve, and we're going to do all these different things. But the point of these verses is that you first come, and you taste, and you see that the Lord is good. The point is that you first come, and that you yourself are loved. What a wonderful text. What a wonderful God that would say, like any parent, I want to love you. I love you. Any good parent, rather. I want to first love you. Out of everything else, my discipline, my justice, my righteousness, come and be loved. I'm not going to tell you to do anything that I'm not willing to give to you. In verse 7 and 8, he's going to say, beloved, come to the source. Come, taste and see that the Lord is good. Come, receive it, and then give it. And we're going to see how that love is manifested in verse 9 and 10. In this, the love of God has made manifest among us that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this love, not that we have loved God, but that God has loved us and sent. And he sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Remember a couple weeks ago when I was preaching on, and I preached on propitiation, that it's Jesus coming in, and that he comes into our world, and that his righteousness is put on us, that the wrath of God, that God doesn't see that we were the objects of wrath, that he sees Jesus' righteousness, that he came as, and that God sent his only Son. What did he send his Son to do? He sent his Son not just to come into our world and be a good or a great moral example. He did do that. And he did live the life that we couldn't live. He did live the life that Adam and Eve, our first parents, failed to do. But he sent his Son to die. He sent his Son into our world with atonement on his mind. He knew that, you know, hey, let's send you down there and you're going to go into the world. And if something bad happens, that's really bad, but hopefully nothing will work out. No, he said, I love my people. And we are all objects of God's wrath according to Scripture. And that I love them and I pursue them. And that my heart is set on them. Think about Adam and Eve. Go back to our first parents. We talked about this last week. Adam and Eve, they sinned. They stepped out of God's commands. They looked away. They engaged in another. And they sin. And what did they do? They ran. They ran and they heard God coming. And they hid. And And God, what did he do? You know the story. He came and he found them. God pursued them. God came and he clothed them. God's pursuing love. And it still exists and it's manifest in the life of Jesus. That God sends Jesus and he sends Jesus into our world to save us from Satan, sin, and death. That the whole world, that the whole Bible is about God's love and his pursuit of his people. God is pursuing you today. If you are hearing this message, God is pursuing you. He's saying, hey, beloved, come near. Come be loved. Come to the source. I'm not telling you to go out and love the world on your own. I'm not telling you to go out and be generous, kind people when you haven't experienced it yourself. That when we look at the cross of Christ, when we look at the cross of Christ, that we are, that we're just entrenched with the love of God, that we look in response and we go, God sacrificially gave, that God gave generously above and beyond. That is the biblical definition of love, that a biblical definition of love is giving to others at one's own expense. Giving to others at one's own expense. That is what love is. It's giving love when somebody that can't repay you, they couldn't repay the debt. They have no means. If you came up to me, again, going back to my previous analogy, and said, hey, Mark, I'm going to give you $1 million. And I, no matter what, I can't think and go, someday I'll be able to repay you that. It's just not going to go well if you give me $1 million and expect repayment. I can't do that. Love is giving at one's own expense. It's costly. When we look at God's benevolent love, it is costly. It took giving up his son. When we go to the source of God and we see that that is manifested in giving of the son, that is the ultimate cost. That God, and you need to hear this today, church, because some of you, we can show up and we can just go to church and that's fine. But if you're hearing this today, God is pursuing you. God is saying, you might not believe the preacher, but believe the text. I love you. Come to the source. Come taste and see that I am good. Now, love is certainly not God's only gift or his only character trait. He's also kind and he's also just. He's also righteous. And he's equally parted with love and justice and judgment. But his love, it governs all of his other attributes. God loves you, that in his judgment, in his kindness, in his grace, he's pursuing you. He's bidding you to say, come, taste and see that I am good. I gave my son. Church, you're an amazing group of people. You are wonderful people. In a very short amount of time, I've been blessed to be a part of this church. Thank you for letting me be one of your pastors. And there are amazing people in this room that have been a part of my growth, my discipleship, that have been a part of me coming to the Lord. I love this church. I feel like I've been at this church for forever. I love you guys. There ain't none of you, not one of you, that I would ever give up one of my kids for. I love you a lot, and I would care. And, you know, I'd probably take a bullet in the leg for Ron, you know, like lower calf. But I would never, it would never cross my mind to say, man, I love Ron so much, I can't even utter those words. I can't give that up. And when we think about the cross, that we need to think, it's not just something that we say. It's not a projection that we throw up on the back of a room. But it's God's love manifested to the world. It shows his love. That there wouldn't have been such a high price tag if the sin wasn't so great. If sin wasn't in the fabric of who we are. Verses 7 and 8 is God is the source. He is the source of love. Here in 9 and 10, we see it manifested. How did God love us? Well, he sent his son for us. And here in verses 11 and 12, beloved, we've seen that before. If God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected. His love is perfected. Now, John, he is a bit of a wordsmith, and it is no accident that he's going to draw us right back to what do we start out in this section of text talking about? Beloved. He's going to draw us right on back to the source. He's going to say, first you're loved. First you're beloved. You're being loved. If God so loved us and he sent his son, he's going to point us back to this love and that we're supposed to love one another. That he's gonna draw us in, that we were the objects of God's wrath, but God sent his son to save us from Satan, sin, and death, that we will be with him forever. And he is telling us now, you go out, and this is perfected and lived out when my love, when you have come to the source, when you have seen what I have given you, and you go give it away. That you go. That you are generous like I've been generous to you. This is how love is reproduced. And I just, this as a parenthesis here, I just want to say one thing. This doesn't mean if some of you are in hurtful and harmful relationships, the preacher said just to stay in them and, you know, just keep loving that person that's hurting you. This would be a misinterpretation of the text. And I just want you to know, I've preached enough, I've taught enough, and been in some situations where people are going through some things. This is a wrong interpretation for you to stay in a bad relationship. Please seek some help, get some people around you, but that is not what this text is saying. The force of this passage is the fact that we are deeply, deeply loved, and we're to love one another, that we are to give this gift of love, that we give it freely. And in the text here, John, he does a little bit of, I don't know if you remember when I opened this series, verbal kung fu. Hang with me. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us, and in us, his love is perfected in us. Well, what the heck, John? What are you saying? Well, he's saying no one has ever seen the face of God. No one's ever come to it. If we look back to Exodus chapter 33, we remember Moses. We'll just call him Mo for short. Mo says, hey, I would like to see you, God. I've been intrigued by your presence up here on Mount Sinai. I want to see you. And God responds with, dude, you'll be done if you even catch a glimpse of me, loosely translated. And so what God says is that he says, but Moses, you can request a flyby, and I will, you come up to the mountain, Top Gun fans, and when you stand up there, I'll pass by and I'll say my name, and you can see me from my backside. And so this is the situation that God comes by, and Moses is just undone. Actually, when he comes down the mountain, people said that his face, the Bible records that his face was radiant and that he was glowing, but he did not see God face to face. But we see God in the image of a cloud that leads Israel by day, that we see God in the image of fire that led Israel by night, that God spoke to Moses out of this burning bush that wasn't consumed, but no one's ever seen God. And then fast forward into the New Testament, Jesus is having this interesting conversation with a disciple named Philip. And if you remember with me, Philip is in this scenario where he's talking to Jesus and they're going back and forth on who Christ is. And Philip says, hey, Jesus, show me the Father. Show me, aka God. And Jesus' response is, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Apparently, it satisfies Philip, but where was that story? Where did that happen? What author may have written it? Oh, yeah, it's in the Gospel of John, in John chapter 14, the other book that this guy wrote. John references this, and he looks back to this conversation that he knew, that Philip and Jesus had, and Jesus says, look, if you've seen me, if you want to know what God is like, if you want to know what Yahweh God, how he acts and how he lives and how he sacrificially loves, look at me. And John takes it a step further here. And John says, if you've seen the Father and we've seen Jesus, and remember, that's what John's basing his whole testimony here on, is the fact that he knows Jesus to be who he says he is. And he says, if you've seen Jesus, that way that that is lived out, he's going to circle this right on back and saying, if you know God and you've drawn from the source, the world sees God through you, through us. No one has ever seen God. We have the testimony, we have who Jesus says he is. And then John takes it a step further and says, the world's never seen God. But if the world wants to see God, they see it through our love, the way that we love the world, in our love being perfected. This is how love is shown to the world. This is how the world sees God. And I know, friends, that this can sound a bit cliche, and I realize that. But think with me. In a world in North America, we are becoming more and more post-Christian, meaning Christianity is not just assumed. There are fewer and fewer Christians. People are not reading their scripture. Oftentimes, us in the church, we're not reading the scripture, let alone the world. And this might come across cliche, and I'm sure you've heard it, but it is still a healthy reminder that we in this church, that we as Christians, we might be the only Bible someone ever reads. We might be the only Bible someone ever reads. Someone who does business with you, that's how they're going to say, that's how Jesus would do business. So you do a construction project for somebody, they're going to say, man, that's how a Christian construction worker works. That's how he's honest. The way accounting, man, a lawyer, man, that's what a Christian lawyer looks like. When the world is looking at us, when people around us are looking, what are they seeing? What do they see when they see our marriages? Do they say, man, that couple, man, they've gone through hell and back in their marriage, and it's been rough, but man, they've stayed the course. They've stayed strong. Man, they just keep clinging to Jesus. It's like they're drawn from a different source. What about you who in here that are single? What does the world think about when they see our singles? Do they see Christians and they know that they're Christians? And man, they live different. Man, the way that they live out their faith and they seem so consumed with their Lord and they seem so loved. It's not like they're running around and trying to find somebody to complete them. Those Christians, the way they live out their singleness seems like they're utilizing and thriving. They're not just waiting in hopes of being completed. Those were air quotes on the audio. To be completed by somebody else, but they seem so fulfilled. It's like they're drawing from a different source. And to us today, church, how do people see us? When we think about love and that we draw from the source, would people in our community say, man, Canby Foursquare, they draw from a different source. They're constantly giving love that is costly to them, that they're giving love that it doesn't build their brand or that it's seen by them, but they're just constantly being kind and generous to those around us. It's that's the kind of church, that's the kind of God goals I want to have for our church. That's how I hope that we would be seen and that people would know us in our community, that we this year, friends, we would look at the cross, that we would see the source, that we would come to it, that we ourselves would be loved, and that the cross would mean more to us in 2020 than it's ever meant in our life. That when we think this year about making goals, when we look at making personal goals, go after them. Go after them. Lose 15 pounds. Put away 10% extra in your 401k. Run that half marathon. Run that 5K. Go after those goals wholeheartedly because they're really, really important and oftentimes intrinsically connected to our spiritual life and our physical life. Run after those goals. But I would challenge you, don't forget about God goals. Don't forget about setting goals of drawing close to the Lord this year. What is it that you haven't done in a while? Have you just, you used to? I mean, I am in this. I want you to know, church, how I teach you and how I come before you is I read the scripture and I'm just saying, God, like I can read this thing, but I need it to read me. And it starts working in me. And then all I do is I just stand up here and say, hey, welcome to my journey and come into this place with me. And this is where the Lord's taking me. Does it challenge you? And that's all I do. And I'm sitting here going, man, I remember. Now I just tell my kids stories about, you know, I used to live in Hawaii and I would hitchhike around and I would hug homeless people and I'd just get rid of all my money and I would just go feed them and I'd sit and talk to them. There's a lot of things that I used to do. There's a lot of things that I've gotten too busy for. What about extreme kindness? What about just going out of your way at your own expense? What are some things? Where do you want to be with the Lord this year? I want to challenge us to grow, to serve. I mean, go to my friend Tim's ministry, Laundry of Love. Get down there and say, hey, I want to help out in any way I can. There's a child's ministry that's screaming for you. We want to reach young families, but we need a place for them to go. Get over there. Pursue service. Pursue extreme kindness, and we do it out of the love that God has given us. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you that you have been so kind to us. God, that you have given us a great amount of love, exceeding above and beyond. Lord, that you gave your Son to die. That it's your Son's righteousness that when you look down on us, God, that you see Christ's righteousness on our life. God, the glory and the majesty of you, Jesus, is amazing. Your kindness that you, God, the Creator, you want to be with everyone in this room, that you're pursuing them now. Jesus, I pray if there's anyone that's saying, yeah, I want to experience this. I want to taste and see. Lord, I pray that they would come and they would meet with the elders that'll be up here praying and that they would come and get prayer and say, yeah, I want to taste and see this, Lord. I want to know this kind of love. If God made such a big sacrifice for me that he would send his Son to die in my place, I want to know why a God would love me so much. I pray that they would come, Lord. God, I thank you that you are good. Thank you that you're faithful and that you love us. And we love you, Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for listening. Please let us know if you have questions or would like us to pray with you. You can contact the church office most weekdays at 503-266-4444 and anytime through canbyfoursquare.com.